Welcome to Singled Out, the podcast for Christian singles of all ages. Singled Out is brought to you by the Fundamental Baptist Singles Fellowship. You can find us on the web at fbsingles.wordpress.com, or you can email us directly with any of your questions and comments at fbsingles@aim.com. And now, here's today's program. Hello, and welcome to another Singled Out podcast. And I'm your host, Pastor Kevin Thompson. Now, we are doing a special series of podcasts each week leading up to our big Baptist Singles Conference on July 1st of this year, July 1st at North Baptist Church. And, of course, we want you to come to that. Now, leading up to the conference, we're going to play some of the messages from our previous conference over there in Stafford Springs, Connecticut, back in August of 2005, there at Galilean Baptist Church. Today's message will be brought to you by Pastor Barry Brown. Pastor Brown is the Academic Dean at New England Baptist College in Southington, Connecticut, also the Assistant Pastor there at Central Baptist Church in Southington, Connecticut. His message is entitled, The Christian Single. The Christian Single, and that's Pastor Barry Brown. And we'll have more information for you concerning our Baptist Singles Conference and any updates we have right after this message, but please listen to the message, take it to heart. The Christian Single, Pastor Barry Brown.
Well, I've certainly been pleased with the conference today, and I think everything I've heard has been a blessing. Scriptural, it's great. Glad to be here myself. I want to introduce you to two different aspects of the ministry at Central Baptist Church, and very briefly. We have had for several years, 11 years, an evening school with college credit. Most of the courses are 2-credit-hour courses, and they're conducted once a week. So you could take a 2-credit-hour course by coming every Monday or every Tuesday and such. That's called the New England School of the Bible. And there's I left on the table outside a fall schedule. And so this is current. These are the classes that will be given in September. And this appeals mostly to folks who have jobs, careers, vocations. They want to learn more about the Bible, something for it. Some are called to ministry, but with their situation, they believe it's God's will for them to continue in their day schedule, and so this makes available training in various ministries. It takes a little longer because you're taking courses less frequently, but it's been an excellent help to several folks. We have missionaries in Quebec, missionaries in Russia. We have church pastors in Connecticut, in Massachusetts, in New Hampshire that are graduates of the evening school. And so if you're interested to take classes, please take a brochure outside, call the number, and someone there can give you all the details. This little brochure is about New England Baptist College. We're starting our second year in 3 weeks. And we had 26 full-time day students. We have a dormitory. So for many of the day students, they were living in a dorm. Some were married students or were driving in. But this is a full day schedule. Someone committed basically to coming several times a week and several days a week. All the courses have to do with ministry. So there's a pastoral major, missions major, education major, elementary and secondary, and a music major. And so all these have to do with ministries, and we have a faculty and staff. Dr. Blazer, David Blazer, came 2 years ago. He's coordinating all of that. He was in on the ground floor at Crown College with Dr. Sexton. He was the person who put that together, and also Oklahoma Baptist College with Dr. Jim Vineyard in Oklahoma City. And so he's an experienced man, and I count it a privilege to work with him. If you're interested in any of these things, talk to me at lunch, talk to me this afternoon, whatever, or just pick up the information and make a phone call. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, if you would. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. I'm going to use it as a jump-off text. We'll be going to 3 or 4 places in the scripture, but this is not an expository message. I usually preach from a text and kind of, you know, a section, a chapter or a passage, and kind of let the scripture speak for itself. But this is a thematic message, and so we're going to go to several places, and I trust and I believe that the things that I'm going to say have a basis in Scripture, some principles from Scripture, but the places we go in the Scripture will just be highlights. But I urge you to go back and study and think about the message see how it fits in your Bible study. But I want to talk about, in general, the Christian single, what is singleness, and a little bit about the factors of life for single Christians. I'm married. I've been married 39 years. And so I'm not speaking to you as a peer. I'm not speaking because I have all the same circumstances that you might have in your life, whether that be age, whether that be vocation, whether that be education, or whether that be singleness. But I think the Bible speaks to all of us, and we can glean from that about one another. So let's begin in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, I ask you to help me. I have a lot of material, and I've tried to glean from it what would be right for this hour, but there may be some other editing that needs to be made through the Holy Spirit. So I pray that you'd help me to skip over those things that are not for this moment, and to emphasize those things that would be a best service to those who are actually here. I thank you for the number of singles and for the commitment of Galilean Baptist Church and the commitment of Brother Kevin Thompson. Lord, this is a great meeting, great purpose. So I pray that my part in it would be fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, we're going to jump off there. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Just a reminder, and we'll come back to that verse after a little bit of introduction, but a reminder that everything in our life, everything, all the things that we read, all the places we go, all the words and stories we utter, everything is to be in harmony with God. And in fact, this verse says more than that. Everything is intended, is purposeful to bring glory to God. We'll come back to that in a moment. There are many factors which contribute, I think, to a general misunderstanding of singleness today, and sometimes an uncomfortable relationship between single people and married people. I'm not sure this has been true for you. You may not have ever experienced this, but in talking and befriending and being a part of the lives of many single folks, I discover that they have some ideas and experiences which I would find as embarrassing, or I would find, had I been in their shoes, uncomfortable. And so there's sometimes a barrier, an invisible barrier between marrieds and singles in a church setting, even among Christians. And some of those factors continue to contribute to a division which prevents both singled and marrieds from fully ministering in the body of Christ. Now, I don't know what the statistics are today, but I know that singlehood in America is on the rise, not lowering, but going up. And if by single, and I would use this, if by single I mean someone who's never been married, or someone who's been married and widowed, or someone who's been married and gone through the tragedy of divorce, if that's just the basic definition, that's just it, singleness in any of those aspects, then the number of single people in America is larger today than it was in the last generation. And if we, as servants of the Lord ministering in local churches, if we ignore you, just because I'm married, I ignore you who are single, because somehow there's some barrier, and you're not allowed, or you're hindered in using your service for the Lord, or you're hindered because of our relationship and my misunderstanding of your life, well, then the body of Christ suffers. Single folks are not only a part of the body of Christ, single saved people, but they're to be active in the body of Christ, and we need you to be active. We meaning all of us. What do I mean about misunderstandings? Well, we have a distorted worldview that's propagated by the media. That's not about Christians, but just the media destroys what singleness is. And then married Christians are sometimes unaware of our own insensitivity. I heard some illustrations this morning from Brother Kevin. They were excellent. Probably more to the mark than my simple ones. But how about someone running up to you or bumping into you and whispering and saying, "Have you met that new fella? I think he's your type." What's that mean? Or how about, "Well, you know, maybe your sights are just too high." What's that mean? Or, "Well, I wish I was as single and carefree as you are. Like all you singles, you never have to pay your bills. You never have to go buy insurance. You've never got to go to the doctor. You never have to plan for the future. You're just all easy and as the wind just rustling around. That's not real. And I'm sure that here and there, some folks may have said that to you. Single Christians may also be confused about their own role. Their role in the life of the church and the role of Christ and the local church in their life. So we've got a worldview that's messed up. We've got thoughts that married people have about singles that may be messed up and impress you in the wrong way. And we've got a misunderstanding within the single community of what it is to be part of the body of Christ and what your local assembly is to do in your life. As the first problem, media. Well, we're not going to solve that problem because the media is of the world and it has a worldview that's diametrically opposed and against the Christian view. But just to illustrate some simple things, never marrieds group number one. The media portrays this group. Stereotyped as being pleasure-seeking, impulsive, uncommitted, materialistic, and promiscuous. A la France. I heard Brother Hathaway today. I have never watched a Friends program from beginning to end. I bumped into a few seconds here, a few seconds there. But you don't have to watch them to read about them. You don't have to watch them to hear about them. Now, they're not on the air now, but except for reruns forever, 24 hours a day. Okay. But that's the idea. This carefree, whatever, neurotic, but, you know, pleasure-seeking, nothing substantial in life, no real purpose. Or maybe you have the stereotype of being the misfit eccentric, like Al on Home Improvement. I did watch Home Improvement, by the way. I'll confess my sin before my night. I did watch Home Improvement. The first couple seasons were kind of funny, and then it got back into other stuff. I stopped watching. But wait, let's not go there. Let's just think of Al. Al just was kind of the clown figure of the set. Why? Well, he was sick.
Lived with his mother.
Yeah, lived with his mother and, you know, had all these eccentricities. Well, those are stereotypes. I don't know if it fits you. Maybe it does. You know, some stereotypes fit some people. The stereotype of a guy 39 years into marriage and is overweight, that fits me. Okay. But that doesn't mean it fits everybody that's married. So the world has stereotypes. We're not going to change those. The once married stereotype, that the fellow who was once married is always a couch potato kind of selfish guy, looking for a servant wife, and that the woman that was once married is a desperate husband hunting female using all her wiles to trick someone into the altar, you know. We're not going to change what the world says. So let's just not try. Let's not get offended when people think that's how you might behave, one or the other. Let's just not bother with it. I mean, yes, a number of people may think that, but does that make it right? It doesn't. I'm more concerned with the third thing, single Christians who are confused about their role in God's will, and those in church bodies, whether single or married, who are confused about the role of singles in the work of the Lord, who have misgivings or misconceptions. So we're gonna go there for the time that I have. First of all, let me start with this. What's singleness? It's not an attitude. It's not a feeling. It's not even a handicap. It's a state of matrimony. That's all it is. Now, if you don't agree with me on some things and of complexity, I make life pretty simple. I really do. It's worked for me. And the simplicity that I find in life is if the Bible says it's true, it's true. Amen. And if the Bible says something's good, it's good. And if the Bible says something's bad, it's bad. I don't have to experience it to know it. I just need to embrace what the Scripture says. And singleness is just a state of matrimony. I do not find a great body of teaching. We find some passages, as we've delved in this morning, very good ones, that show some distinctions or how to work within the circumstances of being married or of being single, because both those aspects are part of the Christian population. But I don't find books of the Bible and great bodies of Scripture that are distinguishing. I find instructions for believers in many aspects of life. I find condemnation of the world. I find a purpose in evangelism. I find teaching on the local assembly and its discipline, its officers, its ordinances. There's lots of topics. I mean, whole books of doctrine, you know, topics that we glean from the Bible. But not a great body of distinction between the commands given to singles and the commands given to marrieds. Most of those might have to do with sexuality, but not a great body of those. Well, singleness is a state of matrimony. And it means adults who've never been married, adults who've lost their partners to death, adults who've lost their partners in divorce. And the Bible speaks to all those groups, and if you're here today and you're single, you fit into one of them. The Bible speaks to all those groups because the Bible speaks to all believers. I told you I'm a simple guy. The Bible speaks to all believers, and the Bible tells us some things about our needs and the things about the causes of the depression that Brother Kevin spoke of this morning, or discontent that we have in both singles and marrieds, but we're here today in a singles conference. Some years ago, I was a pastor for about a year. I've been on the staff for 5 years, and then I was a pastor for about a year, and a lady joined our church, or came, and was faithful, and she'd been saved in another ministry, and she was just a basket of nerves. She was divorced. Her husband had been a drug addict, and he had been abusive, and he ran off to Europe with a girl, and all kinds of stuff. It was a mess. As a pastor, I had no idea how to sort that out. But what I knew is that Noreen, she's now in a distant state and you won't know her, I'll just give you her first name. I did know that Noreen was a basket of nerves and anxiety. She was raising a daughter on her own, a lovely young lady who was about 10 years old at that time. And I can tell you is now adult and married to a Christian. She is a Christian. She has a wonderful family. But Noreen, when she came to me, she was just, as a church member, she was just upset about everything, emotional about everything. You could never tell in the next few seconds what's going to happen. And her obsession was, I need a husband. Because about every other sentence was, if only I was married, I need a husband. If only I was married, I need a husband. If only I was married, I need a husband. And as young in ministry as I was, I wasn't sure what to say or do. But the Lord urged me to deal with her as an individual, and the Lord urged me and my wife, and I appreciate the comments our pastor Hathaway made. I don't counsel women alone. I don't. But my wife and I, in dealing with Noreen, I started to talk to her about a word we're going to use in a little bit, contentment. And what I discovered is when she had a right spirit with the Lord after some months, but when she had a right spirit with the Lord, that obsession disappeared. Not the desire, not the thought from time to time as perhaps God would still have me married or perhaps this loneliness, but the obsession that marriage was the answer to all her problems was lifted. And she actually began to enjoy, have joy in her Christian life. Some things that I think, some basic needs that the Bible talks about for all Christians, but Noreen had lost sight of because she was so focused on her loneliness, on her need for a partner to speak with, to be with, on her need for someone to share her parenting. She was so focused on her circumstance that she had forgotten whatever she might have learned from the Scriptures about the Christian life as a whole. And God speaks to all of us, married and single, about that life. The first thing, we just went to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. We read it. Whatsoever you... Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all in the glory of God. I want to share five things. This is the first one. Five things I think the Bible speaks to all Christians about. But you as singles need to interpret and to embrace them as part of your life, just like I do as a married, but your application may be somewhat different than mine. First thing is this, a sense of purpose. Everyone needs a sense of purpose. Young people are growing up today, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, now they're in their teen years. They've been told they come from nothingness by statistical probability in a process called evolution, and they're going into the bleakness of nothingness, and what happens in between is going to be gone in a few years. There's no point to it. And what's happened? Suicide, despair, drug experimentation, sexual experiment. Why? There's no purpose. We're told the generation that right now is in their 20s and 30s, some of you here, many of you here in that generation, that one of the things that they embrace is that they can find a purpose that might be physical fitness. That isn't a great purpose. It might be help feeding the poor. That can be a Christian purpose. It can also be exercise outside the Christian realm. But a purpose. It might be helping in an educational process or teaching the illiterate to read, or purpose. People need a purpose. Now, I just mentioned some the world would highlight in their advertising campaigns and such. But wait, what is our purpose? To glorify God in whatever we do. And by doing so, to fulfill a commission that was given to every Christian of every generation, and that's to take the Word of God to every person on earth and to help as much as they'll allow us to help them understand their need for Christ and to receive Christ, and then to disciple them, to baptize and disciple them, the Great Commission. Now let me ask, Would you agree with me by your experience that there are a lot of married people that aren't fulfilling that purpose? Sure. There are a lot of married people that are obsessed with other things. Their career. Bill Gates, not a Christian. Bill Gates was asked maybe 2 years ago, do you go to church? And he said, well, I have to tell you, on Sundays I have more important things to accomplish. Well, see, his purpose is not the gospel. He's not saved. I wouldn't expect him to say, oh, I'm to glorify God. I wouldn't expect that. He's not saved. But how many husbands are in the office on Sunday making those last minute plans for the Monday morning meeting? How many wives are working at Walmart on Sunday because they need to buy the material for that next addition or the boat? Or how many, you see what I mean? So are there a lot of married people that are not living with a purpose of glorifying the Lord and fulfilling the Great Commission? Sure. Well, let me ask this then. Are there a lot of singles that are living without fulfilling, Christians that are living and not fulfilling that purpose? Well, certainly. Pastor Brown, you must feel that you're fulfilling that purpose. I struggle. Don't you struggle? Don't you struggle with whether you should have gone to that next house, or maybe whether you should have made the phone call because you heard someone was sick and in the name of Jesus you could be an encouragement? Well, I forgot. I got involved with, I should have. Sure, we all do that. So I'm not talking about perfection here. But I'm just saying that one of the voids that human beings have is the void of purpose. And if finding a marriage partner is the substitute for God's holy purpose of fulfilling His commission, of making sure that all the aspects of our life glorify Him, of making Christ the center of things, then no change in the state of matrimony will be sufficient to create that purpose, to fulfill that purpose. So, first thing is God says to all of us, married and single, is that we are to have an overriding purpose, and that we'll not be happy apart from surrender to accomplish that purpose. We're just not going to be happy at that. So, singles, that void Number one, the Bible says that we have purpose. We need to embrace it, not avoid it. The second thing that Scripture says, is that we need intimacy. That word was used in the men's meeting, and very well, and it was defined quite well. Intimacy. For those of you who are upstairs in the ladies' meeting, intimacy, I wrote down this, is related to the concept of being able to share feelings, confusion, victories, testimonies, temptations, defeats, longings, aspirations, what's inside. That's intimacy. We need to be able to share things that are inside with someone else. Brother Hathaway, correctly, I think it was a great way to present it. I appreciated it so much. I hadn't thought of it that way. He said that being emotionally intimate and being physically intimate was not intended by God with human beings. Emotional intimacy with human beings, physical intimacy with a human being was not intended by God to be separated and parsed. Because when we share those innermost, down deep feelings, we're sharing a risk, we're sharing our reputation, we're sharing what this other person will think about us. So first comes the commitment of marriage and love, and then commitment of love, and then comes intimate sharing. We do it differently. As was said earlier, 10 and 12-year-olds are intimately sharing. They're talking about every longing. They're talking about fears about sexuality. They're talking about the development of their body. They're talking about all these subjects that God did not intend them to talk to some peer in their classroom. God gave them a parent to talk to, and God gave them himself to talk to. We need the intimacy, but the intimacy for a child growing up is to be their parents. The intimacy for an adult who's single is to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't the Scripture say in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? What's one of the most frequent complaints of married partners that might sit in my office and say, "Preacher, we're having troubles"? What's one of communicating? And what's communicating? Intimately sharing the things that are down deep inside and listening to our partner as they do. Married couples have problems with intimacy, with the emotional, with the mental or spiritual intimacy. I don't mean they're equal, but all those different aspects. Married people have problems with that. Why would singles think that picking up someone at a singles bar and telling all that same stuff over some whiskey sours is going to solve the problem? Huh? We need the intimacy, but where does God provide for a single, different than a married, where does God provide for a single? Well, still provides parents, even if you're an adult. But also the fellowship within the body of Christ with others of the same gender. Did you hear me there? There is a level. Now listen, one has to be cautious and it takes maturity. What do marriages do? Well, had an argument with my wife last night. Told her a thing or two. She said this, then I said that, then she said this, then she accused me of that, then I told her this, and I reminded her, who are we talking to? The guy who works at the next machine. That's all we're having coffee with, coffee break. That's not right. I think that violates the marriage vows of fidelity. I'm not being loyal to my wife when I talk about her very personal behavior, words. I'm not. And my wife, I have to tell you, 39 years, and that's one habit. We got saved when we were married 6 years, and we had to say everything we've learned and experienced has to go out the back door. We're going to learn what the Bible says. or we would have been aimed at a divorce court. I mean, that's... But for women, you know, married women may go to a friend in the church, or a friend at the hair salon, or a friend in the family, their sister or mother, and say, here's what's wrong with my husband, here's all the things, and then he said this, and I did this, and then he did that, and you won't believe how crude, and on and on. That's not loyal. It's not right. So marrieds have a problem deciding how to be intimate and with whom. Single folks here, yes, you have a challenge to know what to share with others and what to share only with God. And you don't have the avenue of the marriage partner who you may be able to share more with of your innermost feelings and fears and longings and desires and goals. But you may not have a marriage partner to share that depth with, but you know, God can give you a partner, again, of the same gender, within the body of Christ to share some of those. There's a scale here. Some things go only to God. Some may go to your parent. You say, well, I'm 35 years old. I'm not going to. Why not? They birthed you and raised you, and you can't talk to them? I'm not talking about differences of whether they're saved or not. Life is complicated. As I try to make it simple, Brother Hathaway. But I know it's complicated. But intimacy, an opportunity for intimacy. And God gives that opportunity to singles. And yet, how many singles simply, again, my experience more with those that, as Brother Kevin said, they're approaching their senior year in college and they're thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? And you know, and the concept is, I have to have someone I can share this with. Well, you do have someone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can find some for certain situations in the body of Christ who can share prayer requests and certain things, but some you must reserve for God only. But there's an availability. One doesn't have to say as a single, I don't have anybody. That's not true. That's not true. And I have to tell you, as a married person, there are some things I don't share with my wife. I can only go to God about it. They're not to become her burden. There are some things that I have to carry and give them to the Lord. So there's a sharing of intimacy that every person needs, but that's provided. By the way, why is intimacy always equated with sexual intimacy out in the world? The word doesn't necessarily mean that. But the reason I said 2-3 times, if you're going to be learned to have a partner in a local church setting in the body of Christ who can share some of the fears and some of the problems and some of the questions with you, you might not share with others. It needs to be the same gender, because if we start sharing those intimate, personal things, we will discover the physical attraction begins to draw us together, because those emotional intimacies are inseparable from that physical intimacy when it's someone of the other gender. Now, thirdly, God wants us to experience a third factor that all people need. We need purpose. He's given it to us. We need an avenue to share intimacy and thoughts and feelings and sensitivities and goals. God's given us avenues for that. Not the same avenues, but He's given us adequate avenues. Thirdly, contentment. I'm going to use number 4, satisfaction. So if I divided them, why would I divide them? Contentment and satisfaction. I divided them because I'll say contentment is the inner sense of peace regarding who we are, not what we are doing or have done. It's about us. Contentment has its source in the Lord, because He's the only one that can allow us to accept our strengths and our weaknesses, our holiness and our sinfulness. Contentment is coming to a peaceful resolution about who we are. The scripture says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world will never be content apart from God. Because apart from salvation in Jesus Christ, we're not to accept who we are. An unsaved person is not to say, well, I'm a sinner bound for hell, and I'm pleased. I can live with that. No! An unsaved person, if they recognize truly they're a sinner bound for hell, is not supposed to live with that, but rather to receive Christ. But we who are saved, God has a special peace for us. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Living for God, attempting to be like God in those areas that we can, that we're capable of being more Christ-like, and being at peace with ourselves as we grow is contentment. Philippians says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And the scripture goes on and says, I've learned both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed to be both full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Does all things include the state of matrimony? Mm-hmm. I think it does. All is a real short word, but it's very broad. I've learned in all things to be content. Today, if you're single today, and you go home this evening, and you put your head on your pillow, and as you go off to sleep, can you honestly say, I am at peace with who I am? God wants us to be at peace with who we are, of what circumstance He's placed us in. Do you think a soldier in Iraq today could go to sleep tonight and say, I'm at peace with where I am? Now, I'm not saying it's a peaceful place, you see. I'm not saying it's a great circumstance. I'm not saying it isn't difficult, our circumstance, our challenges in life. But can we be at peace that God, who placed us there, knows what He's doing? Contentment. Every person needs contentment. Every Christian needs contentment, that is. And every single Christian, perhaps more than even a married Christian, is more likely to be aware of discontent. Content in the Lord. I know where I am. I know who I am. Well, I wasn't fit. Someone didn't like me. They didn't invite me out. They didn't date me. They didn't pursue me. Whoa. Who I am. Not what I've done. Not where I've been. Who I am. And the circumstances that God has placed me in as a who I am. Am I content? How can I possibly be content? By being filled with the Word of God and the peace that God brings through our working relationship with Him. Well, it's a walking relationship too, but our working relationship with Him. And then I said satisfaction. Is it different? Yes, satisfaction, by my thinking, is knowing that we have served Him in a way that is satisfying to Him. Longing to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I can be content over who I am, who God made me. I don't have a lot of hair on the top of my head. But I have never spent a nickel on any spray can that puts black fuzz up there. Okay? I've never spent a nickel on a weave. Why? You say, well, you're stupid because you look a lot better. No. I'm content with that. That's not an issue for me. That's why I can make fun of it a little bit. That's not an issue. I understand that there may be some men, I mean, that's a strong, really deeply inside, that's a strong issue about masculinity or youth or whatever. It's not for me. I can be content with who I am. God made my head. He made the hair that's now on the floor in the bathroom. He made all that. So I can be content with that. Now, satisfaction, though, has to do with my reaction to my circumstance with God's leading. Am I serving God? Now, listen. As I've seen singles obsessed with getting a partner. Here's one of the patterns. Brother Brown, we love your church. I'll tell you, my friend and I came and we loved your church. He lives in another town. He goes to another church, but I want to be coming back here. Okay? Brother Brown, I want to join the church. Wonderful. And by the way, what's her name? Excuse me? Well, God's got me here. What's her name? 6 months from now, that same person is in another church, or maybe a year, saying, Brother Smith, Brother Jones, Brother Johnson, God has me here. And by the way, what's her name? Because I've seen that some singles, with their obsession to find a marriage partner, go from church to church to church, checking out the fields. They know they can't just bop in here and there, so they join the church, they start to get involved, and then they get uninvolved and go somewhere. What kind of service can we have for the Lord? So the obsession to find the marriage partner has precluded, has ruled out satisfaction as I'm serving God consistently, I'm growing, I'm being edified, and I'm an instrument to edify the body of Christ. Even these married people are being blessed because I'm consistent. Obsessed with finding a mate. Moving around from field to field, joining and joining and doing and doing. Well, you weren't out on visitation on Tuesday. Oh, well, I'm taking a course on clay pottery over at the night school. Really? Are you interested in fine arts? And, well, I don't know. I met this girl at the diner and she... Oh, see what I mean? If we're obsessed with finding the mate, then our priority to fulfill our purpose by serving and the satisfaction it brings is lost. So now we still have that emptiness. The last thing, I said purpose, fulfilled by knowing our role assigned by God. Intimacy, provided in marriage by our marriage partner, in singlehood by parents and other peer friends of the same gender. Contentment, because we come to accept our circumstance and what God has made us, because we realize that that's one of those persons in the spectrum of all God's creation. That's for us today. Again, as Brother Hathaway said, some folks next year may be from this very group, may have walked down an altar and been married, may not be part of this conference next year. I understand that, but then they'll need to be content in that situation as you're content today. I told you about Noreen. Noreen began serving the Lord and got pastor obsession. Pastor day and night moaning and whining and crying and loneliness and started serving. She had a beautiful voice, a musical talent, God-given, not trained, just God-given. She began singing special music. She began singing in the choir. She began with her daughter, giving her some lessons and got focused on the ministry that God could give her. And then she started teaching in a vacation Bible school class in a summer. She said, I love that. So she had a backyard Bible class. Her daughter, who was approaching her teen years, helped with the little kids in the neighborhood. Noreen became content. Guess what? Someone brought someone to our church. A single man who was focused on serving the Lord, out soul winning, involved with ministry, helping others, you know, just growing in the Lord, their husband and wife. Was she looking in the door when he came? Maybe him! No. She wasn't. It was like oblivion. It was like, I'm serving the Lord. And then it's, huh? What? Who are you? Wow, you're right in our church. Contentment, satisfaction of serving. And lastly, Romans 9:14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness in God? God forbid. A strong belief, a strong faith in the sovereign goodness of God. I might not be able to see it as a 17-year-old single, as a 22-year-old single, as a 35-year-old single, as an older single. I may not be able to see why or how, but I need a strong faith in the sovereign, God's in charge, goodness. He's not an evil God withholding gifts from his children, as Brother Kevin said this morning, in the sovereign goodness of God. Those five aspects are things that married people need too. So both married and single and younger, pre-marriage, I mean kids growing up, teenagers, Those five things every Christian needs. But we can either be obsessed with, this will come to me, these will all be answered in that person that I marry. Wrong answer. Or these will all be answered in the avenue God has given to every Christian. Through Christ, through the purpose of the Christian, through the intimacy of friendship in the body of Christ, or a marriage partner, or both. Through contentment with that God has created me in the way I am, in my circumstance, through satisfaction that I am fulfilling the purpose God gave me, and I will hear someday, God willing, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and faith that God made no mistake to bring me to this point. But I'm in his hands right now. I may have made a mistake 5 years ago, 7 years, but God made no mistake, and he has me in his hand right now, and he has a blessing for me right now. And if there's a marriage partner in the future, God will sovereignly bring that to your attention. But the obsession with that will blind you to what God is doing to fulfill your needs and my needs. Father, I ask you to bless the time that we've had. I pray, Lord, that everything that was said would be honoring to you. I simply ask that among these thoughts that your Holy Spirit would apply them, that each person here may glean something from each of the speakers today that would help them draw closer to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brown, for that wonderful message. And I hope you will take that to heart. Now, that was preached at our Baptist Singles Conference of 2005 in Stafford Springs, Connecticut. This year's conference, 2006, will be held July 1st at the North Baptist Church in Brockton, Massachusetts. And you can reach us here at 508-580-1400. Or you can always email us, fbsingles@aim.com. And we want you to find out more information about the conference. And you can log on to our website, fbsingles.wordpress.com. We want you to come. The price is $15 if you get your registration in by June 15th, which is a Thursday, which at the time of this broadcast, it's tomorrow. Now, anytime after that, it's $20. Now, we want you to get that in as soon as possible just so we know that you're coming and that we can reserve a space for you. It will be filling up. We are getting registrations in already. Praise the Lord. And I hope you'll make it a point to come. We'd love to see you. And please let us know if you're listening to the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We'll join us again right here next week for another exciting podcast. Until then, may the Lord bless. You've been listening to Singled Out, the podcast for Christian singles. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out our website, fbsingles.wordpress.com.